Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This morning we're going to read one verse. That's verse 20 of chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through, and then we'll read together in unison the second time through. So please, if you would stand to your feet as you're finding our scripture this morning, in honor of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Let's read it together now, please. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Father, thank you for this special day that we can celebrate, hear preached about, hopefully become better sons and daughters. Father, just work in our hearts today as we take Mother's Day 2016 and use it as a way to make us and help us to be better. Lord, please help our pastor this morning. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle that before they leave this room this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Mother's Day is a special day in our nation. Several countries around the world celebrate Mother's Day, as should be. I remember being in Mexico preaching, and Mother's Day is on the same day, no matter what day of the week it is. They have it on that date, and it is a big day there. They celebrate that. Canada has Mother's Day. Several nations do, and there should be. When Samantha was singing that song this morning, did you think about your mom? You have a godly mother, prayed for you. Some of us we did, and some of us we didn't. When the Bible says to honor your father and your mother, it doesn't say honor your godly father and mother. It says honor your father and your mother. To honor them in the Bible means to treat them worthy of the respect of the position that they hold. Everybody's mother is worthy of honor. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I hope that the message will be directed a little more toward the moms and ladies today, but I hope that we glean some things. Now look at me. If your mom's still alive and on this earth, you better make some contact with her today. Somehow, some way, some means, some manner, you give her a call. I know we live in the texting age. Texts are a little too impersonal for Mother's Day. You need to call your mom. So, well, I'll email her. That's just as bad. And sending mom a bunch of emojis for Mother's Day is not the thing either. She needs to hear your little squeaky voice. So you call your mom, you make some contact with her. One of these days you'll be like some of us and your mom won't be here anymore. And so you want to make contact with her. Her name is Eve in the Bible. She is the first woman. She is the first wife. She's also the first mother. Her name, as you noticed in Genesis 3 and verse 20 this morning, her name is Eve. And it says in the Bible here that Adam gave her that name. We know this about Eve. We know that her creation was unique and special. God formed from the dust of the earth all of the animals, and God formed from the dust of the earth man. When he went to make the woman, he took from man a rib and fashioned a woman and brought her unto him. Now, I hope you understand what that means this morning. I hope you realize that that wasn't an afterthought. The woman was not an afterthought. She was the crown of God's creation. After this, he made nothing else. He was done. And he created the woman as the crown of his creation. And he made her in a unique and special way, like he made no one else, like he made nothing else. So I understand today that in society, the role of women is being redefined by people in all spectrums across the board. I hope that you ladies today will get your understanding of what God intended you to be from his creation, not what the world's trying to make you to become. And Adam gave her a name, and her name is Eve. The name Eve means the source of life. That's why it says in Genesis 3 and 20, after Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, irrespective of what evolutionists think, the first woman was not some prehistoric creature in Ethiopia in a cave somewhere. She was made by God. Now, dear people, look at me. Because we have left the Bible out of our thinking, our understanding, and our believing of where we came from and how we got here, because of that, I am afraid it has created a myriad of problems. And one of them is people don't know what they are anymore. They can't figure out why they are, what they are, where they came from. Are we just a bunch of human accidents walking the planet, or were we created by the hand of an almighty God? You say, well, religion says that. No, the Bible says that, and that's God's authority, and I'll take his authority. We were created by God. Her name is Eve. First woman. First wife. First mother. Ladies, this morning, understand the name Eve means the giver of life. That means this morning. She was given her life by God. Her creation, as I said, would be like no other, and she would be special in the eyes of God. And God had a special plan for her. God intended something very special for Eve. And not just that particular woman, any woman. God has given you life. Now, I understand today that people think that because of this evolutionary thinking, everything's just kind of an accident. You just sort of show up and that's how it is, and you're here and we're there and our life sort of goes on. I believe, as the Bible teaches, that every human being is a special creative work of God. And that means this, dear ladies and everyone this morning, you understand you are given life by God. At conception is when life begins. That's not a fetus. That's not an embryo. That is a life. Jesus was called a child in his mother's womb. That's not a choice, that's a child. And God had a special purpose and has a special purpose for everyone. You say, yeah, but what about people who are born with physical infirmities or deficiencies of their health or life or mind? Did God make them that way? No, sin changed the way God intended things. But I do believe this, dear people. Every person is created with a special idea from God and a special plan for their life. This lady right here, Eve, is the mother of all living. Everyone, all the life of this planet stems from the seed of man and the seed of woman. And this lady right here is given a special place in the mind and the plan and the thought of God. I hope every woman in this room this morning understands that she is created with a special purpose for her life. Now, here's what's sad. Most people are going to live their life, go through their life, and fulfill their own plan. Get their own purpose, find their own reason, accomplish their own goals, discover themselves in the sight of the world today, try to appease the world's understanding of what a woman is supposed to be. By the way, that goes for a man too. But we'll just talk to the ladies for a moment this morning. Ladies, listen to me. You were created by God. You were given life by God. And he gave you that life for a purpose. Someone has once said, God's gift to us is our life. Our gift to God is what we do with it. It changes our thinking. Now listen, it changes the way we think and the way we live if we understand that we are placed and put here for a purpose and a reason. It changes everything about us. So many people today, as a pastor working with people in their lives and their problems or their difficulties, so many people today, they find themselves trying to find a purpose for what goes on, a purpose for their troubles or a purpose for their life or a purpose for their reason to be here, a purpose to get up and go to work every morning, a purpose for family, a purpose for home, a purpose for everything. And they seem to have no purpose, and here's why, because they've left God out of their thinking. They're trying to find their purpose. You're trying to go through life and discover what you're here for and why you're here and what it's all about. But the problem today is so many have just left God out of it altogether. I guarantee you this, God had a distinct purpose for this lady Eve. She was to be the first, the life flow of all humanity. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds like a big plan. I don't think Eve understood there'd be billions of people who would come from her and Adam. God's plan is greater than we could ever possibly hope to understand. Why Would we want to try to find our plan and figure out our own when God already has one? It's incredible when you think about it. In the early days of our church, before we had our own church plant of our own church property, we tried on several occasions to build a building somewhere on some one section of land. A person gave us a piece of land. We tried to build there, and that we had to walk away from that one and this one and that one. And we had these preliminary plans drawn up. For the longest time, I had all these plans stuffed in a big container in my office in a closet. And every now and then I'd look at them and I'd think, well, I remember that one. That didn't work out. And I remember that one didn't work out. And I remember, but that one didn't work either. And I don't, there must have been 10 or 12 sets of little plans of buildings drawn up and all this kind of stuff. Over these years, the young pastor will have a church and he's going to build his first building. He'll say, we're going to build a building about so-and-so size. I go, I think I got a plan for that, as a matter of fact. And I pull it out and give it to him and say, look, we're not going to use it. Go ahead. That'll help you. You know, it's amazing when we think about that. Look at me. We wouldn't build a house without a plan. We wouldn't put anything together in our lives without a plan. And then our life, the life God has given us, we're going to put the whole thing together and leave him out of it. That's insane. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. He did for this dear lady, the giver of life. Ladies, you are special in God's creation. He's given you a life. He's designed for you a purpose for that life. To know it is to know the greatest truth in life. And I want to spread it out to everybody in this room this morning. Don't you understand? You're going to come, look at me. You're going to come to a place in your life where you're going to feel no sense of purpose whatsoever if you leave God out. The frustration, what do they call it? Midlife crisis. Person gets to the 40, 50 age category. They get the furniture disease. For guys, chest falls in their drawers. You know what I'm talking about? The furniture disease. They kind of get that thing where they start feeling like, what in the world? I've been doing this all these years. Now my life, my youth is passing, and what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, everyone is going to run into that thing in life where they sense no purpose. If you leave God out, you will get there. Now, here's the sad part about it. You don't get to back up. You don't get to start over. You got one shot at finding your purpose in life, and God will give that to you if you'll know him. Now, first of all, that involves salvation. You need to know Christ as your Savior. To know Christ as your Savior is to be born into God's family. To be born into God's family is to know his purpose and your plan. So accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the starting point of this purpose in life. Without it, you're on your own. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Now, don't waste any more. They say, well, I'm already grown up and I've already figured some things out. It's not too late. You can still know, but first you need to know Christ as your Savior. That's essential. You need to know the real giver of life, and it's not Eve, it's God. And that life comes through Jesus Christ when you accept him as your personal Savior. Then, once you know Christ as your Savior, my friend, here is the plan for life. This is it. To know this is to know God's purpose and your plan. Look here. If you won't follow this, he won't reveal to you what's not in here. My name's not in this book. His purpose for my life is not specifically written out. Mike Johnson married Patty Teal on December the 6th, 1975. Mike Johnson have four children. Mike Johnson then have seven grandchildren. One day start Shasta Baptist Church. There is absolutely nothing in print about that here. Not a thing. But I know for a fact my life's in the middle of his purpose because as best as I know how, not perfectly by any means, as best as I know how, I live by what this book tells me. And in so doing, God has revealed to me my purpose in life. Now I know what I'm here for. I know what I'm doing. I pillow my head at night and I'm fulfilling his purpose in life. And there is nothing I say, well, you don't know what it's like to have something else in your life. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. 10 years of my life, I was outside the will of God. And living outside of God's will, Mike Johnson tried to fulfill his own purpose. And hey, I wasn't living under a bridge. All right? I wasn't a hopeless drunk or alcoholic or something. I wasn't a junkie. Wasn't a bad person. I had my life played out, laid out. Everything was in order. I knew what I wanted to do with my life, how I wanted to do that. And I was setting out to fulfill that purpose when I ran into a train wreck. You say, you mean there was a horrible accident, a twisting metal, you wound up in the hospital? No. I asked a beautiful, blonde-haired, hazel-eyed woman to marry me. And she upset my apple cart. You mean she said yes? No. I mean, she said, no, no. She said what, church? She said, I don't know. And that stripped my gears, messed me up completely. Turned the whole thing around. Won't go through the whole story this morning. You need to get on to Hometown Buffet or Marie Callender's or Outback or, boy, doesn't that sound good? Famous Dave's. That's not a mom thing. Anyway, you need to get on to lunch today. But let me just say this. God just upset my apple cart and destroyed all of my plans. But guess what? He was just trying to help me get back into his purpose and find out why I was here. And I found it, my friend, not only in that lady right there, but in that book and what God wanted me to do. You must understand, it was given life by God. So were you. Don't miss it. Not only was she given life, this dear lady Eve. Eve was to give life to others, the mother of all living. She doesn't have any children. Genesis 3 and verse 20. She has no children. But see, in the mind of God, she's going to be a giver of life to others. She was to have a special part of giving that life, and she would do so and do so by her example, by her exhortation, what she said. Best preacher in your house was your mom. She's a godly lady. She's the best preacher. She's the best preacher in my house. Oh, yeah. All the things that our moms tried to instruct us with and to teach us. I think in Proverbs 31 and verse 2, Solomon talked about the prophecy that his mother taught him. Mom was a prophet. Wasn't your mom a prophetic person? Didn't she tell you all this stuff? Don't run with sharp things in your hand. I think the worst one was don't go swimming for an hour until after you eat because you get cramps and you'll die, which they have now found was a lie that mothers have taught us all these years. It's not true. By the way, I knew that already because when she wasn't looking, I jumped in the pool and I didn't drown. So anyway, the point is there's this prophecy. Mom, oh, Mom. We need you, Mom. Oh, how we need mothers today. Napoleon Bonaparte, the emperor of France, was asked in the height of one of the most difficult hours and days. And they said, Mr. Bonaparte, what is it that France needs more than anything? They thought generals or armies or soldiers or troops. And Napoleon didn't even hesitate. He just pointed at the man. He said, sir, we need mothers today more than anything else. We need moms today. We need some prophetic moms who set by example how they live their life and exhortation, what they say. Well, I want to nag anybody. You know, okay, nagging is a different, difficult thing to define in people's minds. I find that nagging is usually defined by people who don't listen real well. And if we listened better, they wouldn't have to repeat themselves. But I got news for you. I don't think I washed behind my ears the first time I was told. I don't think so. I know the first time I was told, I didn't look both ways before I crossed the street. Seemed like I had to be told more than once. Was that you? Was that you? Is that you? Is your mom still teaching you? I like that little plaque I saw one of our ladies had on her wall one day at her house. It said, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all. Yeah. We all got a little mom in us. But see, she's to be giving life to others. Oh, now, oh, no, not nowadays. No, no. Nowadays, you got to be taking. You got to have the taking principle. If you're not getting yours, you're not getting what you want, you don't get what you need, you're not getting what you have, if someone's not giving you what you need, if someone's not there for you, what in the world has happened somewhere down the road? By the way, this applies to men as well, but just specifically in this time this morning to our ladies, remind you that Solomon's mother spoke prophecy. Moses' mother saved his life, who would lead Israel out of their Egyptian bondage. She defied Pharaoh's order and took that child, born Moses, put him in a basket of reeds and bulrushes, pitched it so it would float, put that child out in the river and watched carefully and protected and watched over him. And from that basket would come Israel's greatest leader, Moses. Because mom defied the conventions of mankind, she's a giver of life. That's what you're going to have to do today, Mom. You're going to have to defy the conventions of life. You're going to have to stand up to the Hillary crowd. Forgive me if you don't like that, but too bad. You're going to have to stand up to that crowd. You're going to have to stand up to the crowd that tries to tell women what they're supposed to be instead of get it from what God says they're supposed to be. Don't you understand, ladies? You are the giver of life. It doesn't mean the burden of everything falls upon you. It means you are given this thing, this ability. I'm sorry, but I've seen it before where guys wouldn't have a problem with in their family, and dad will give them the what for. Let me tell you something, boy, and give him the what for, and the kid will just look at him like nothing. And then mom will say, now, sweetheart, and that kid will just break down. You want to see a bunch of prisoners break down in Christ? Start talking about their mom. You know, it's amazing to me how mom has the power and ability she's been given. And ladies, Eve was a giver of life. Be a modern-day Eve and learn to give life to those who are around you. I'm not trying to burden you, ladies. I'm not trying to say it's all up to you. We all have our responsibilities and we all have our parts. But ladies and gentlemen, this society today is sinking in the quagmire of selfishness. Everybody trying to get theirs and just go on like life should just go on like this. We can't do that anymore. Well, if everyone does that and I do different, I'll be the only one. Then you'll be unique. You'll be special. You'll be somebody who'll make a difference in society instead of make society the different thing it is today. Eve, the giver of life. And Eve was to set a precedent. She was the first of all women. Again, first woman, first wife, first mother. She was to take all of that. Say, yeah, but I know something Eve did she shouldn't have done. She took of that fruit. She stood there and let Satan tempt her, and she took of the fruit. Now, please remember, when you read Genesis chapter 3, earlier part of the chapter, you'll find Adam stood there and watched the whole thing on. God always blamed Adam for the fall because he didn't do his job as a husband for his wife. But she did set a part. She was part of setting a precedent for something that was not good. I was thinking, as Samantha was singing this morning, about my mother who's in heaven. You know my testimony in my life. My mother was a drunk. My dad was a Baptist preacher. Ran off with one of the women in the church, and my mother turned to drink and became a drunkard. And most of my childhood, by the way, some of it, many of it, years of it, lived right here in this area, was in a drunkard's home. While Samantha was singing, I was thinking about that, and I thought to myself, I never heard my mother pray. I don't doubt that she did, but I never heard her pray. She never took us to church. I'm not speaking ill of my mother. Now, please understand something today. I have absolutely no problem with my mom. And if you do, you better settle up with your mother now. But I only say this just as an illustration, if I may, for a moment. But my mother was a hardworking woman. So he said she was a drunk. She got drunk. I don't know any night I didn't see her get drunk. And on the weekends, they did serious drinking. But I never saw her stay home from work. Never. She worked hard. We never lived in a filthy house. Drunkard's home, broken furniture, all that junk. But the house was never a mess. We were never dirty children. See, there were things my mother taught me. My mom had a great sense of humor. She's a Texan. Little 2x4 squirt Texan. My mother was tough. She grew up one of 13 brothers and sisters. But I never heard her pray. See, is your mother a Christian? Yes. She was raised in the Jehovah's Witness religion. All her family were Jehovah's Witnesses. But somewhere in her teenage years, somebody led her to Christ, and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. So I don't doubt that my mom's in heaven today. You say, well, she's praying for you now. I don't know about prayers in heaven, but I know one thing. There's some precedences she set in her life that I came to decide I was not going to follow in mine. Not against her. Some of you folks, what you do is so anti-mom, it's unbelievable. Well, that's the way my mother was, and I'm never going to do that. Excuse me. If it was something bad, you keep that attitude. But if it was something good, don't you throw out the baby with the wash water now. See, it would be a disgrace for me to be lazy because my mother was never lazy. It would be a disgrace for me to be dishonest because I never knew to be a dishonest person. Yeah, but she had, no, wait a minute. I told you what she did that wasn't good. I've told you now what she did that is. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Ladies and gentlemen, this lady Eve is a precedent setter. She is setting a precedent for the women who would come after her. And that's what you ladies need to do. You need to set a precedent. You need to decide what you're going to do with your life that sets an example. We live in a society today that cares nothing about example. Nothing. I live my life, I do what I want, and that's just the way it is. And if people don't, they want to follow that, that's fine. If they don't, that's their fault. No, you're wrong, you're selfish. Don't set the wrong precedent. Set the right one. Do that thing. That's why Mother's Day is always a good day at church. Moms want to go to church with their family. Wonderful. Father's Day, they go to the lake. What's all that about? So Father's Day, I'm going to the lake and preach. I'm going to get in a boat and just go around the lake and preach at all the boats on the lake. Eve was not a perfect woman. But do you know, look here, now let me say this and finish. Do you realize we have one mistake recorded that she made in her life? Adam lived over 950 years. As far as we know, Eve must have lived that long herself. Now that's not bad, one mistake in 900 years. But I'll tell you what, it did happen. Eve outlived her mistakes by doing what she's supposed to do. So don't give me that, well, I messed up in my life. I joined the club. No, don't give me that give up stuff either, though. You outlive those mistakes. Then you set a precedent of somebody who wasn't perfect but got it together and kept it together and did what they were supposed to do. Oh, mother, mom, listen to me. Lady, listen to me this morning. You are your own modern day Eve. God made you for a special purpose, for a special reason. And he wants you to be a giver of life to others and set a good example and a precedent by what you do and how you live your life. They're still calling girls Eve these days, you know. 6,000 years later, they're still calling as late. Some of these ladies, they're calling them Eve. And you know something, ladies? We thank God for you. I hope that every woman that comes to Shasta Baptist Church feels a great deal of respect from this pastor and from your church, because you are very greatly worthy of respect. Her name is be called Eve, the mother of all living. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.